Hey, I'm Charlie, and thanks for being here today. If you're already a subscriber to the show, thank you so much. You're incredible, and your support means more than you know. And if you're here for the first time, make sure you subscribe to the show, because today, like in every episode, I'm bringing you the most amazing childless, child-free content on the internet that teaches you how to overcome those limiting beliefs you have about yourself and stop the self-sabotaging behaviors that are holding you back from embracing a life you deserve.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I am joined today by Rita Utterback, and she is here coming to us from Radiate with Rita on Instagram, and I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit, tell you about what she does, and then we'll jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Rita.
Thanks so much, Charlie. I'm super excited to be here tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you.
I know we've briefly connected some on Instagram, but I have endometriosis. I've had endometriosis now for the last, I think, 12 to 13 years. It's been a while. I've lost count, but it is kind of the reason why I stepped into the health and wellness space that I'm currently in. My journey with endo was very similar to a lot of women's journeys that have just a lot of pain, really miserable, just struggling to get answers in and out of surgery. And I needed something more, right? The options that were presented to me were Lupron, which is medically induced menopause for those who don't know what Lupron is, or it was like birth control. And I was just one of those people that had like a negative reaction to every form of birth control. And I was like, okay, something's got to give. Like, I'm not the only person in the world that can't tolerate birth control. Like, this cannot be the only thing for me. So I really started to take a deeper dive into the holistic medicine realm. I think, especially when you have a chronic illness like endometriosis, I think it's really important to integrate both realms of medicine. I definitely do think there's a large need for conventional medicine, right? Especially with the surgery component of things. But I also think we need to incorporate more of like a functional realm too, right? That way we're incorporating more of an integrative approach to the best of both worlds. Because when I started incorporating more of a holistic approach, started really focusing on my diet, my lifestyle, really focusing on supporting my nervous system and kind of addressing a lot of the root causes of what causes people's endo flares to be pretty intense, right? And it's zoomed out and started focusing on making a lot of diet and lifestyle changes and noticed a major relief of my symptoms. I definitely still had a lot of things to work on. And I know I had to work with a couple different practitioners along my journey to get the extra help that I need, because I ended up having advanced testing done, like stool testing and whatever else helped me figure out why I was struggling so much with my digestion and whatever else. But realistically, like working with these practitioners and working with these providers and just being able to incorporate both worlds is why I was able to see a tremendous amount of relief. And that's why I stepped into this. I started out as a nutrition coach and really just helping people build a healthy relationship with food and just teaching them how to eat. But I knew when I started that I wanted to do more. I knew I wanted to work towards becoming a functional practitioner, which is where I'm at now. I just finished my functional practitioner program in the fall. And it's just nice to be able to help women in a way that I was able to be helped. And I think there are so many women with endo that are stuck in the same spot that I was, right? They're stuck at the crossroads of like, okay, this branch of medicine, it's kind of working, but I know I need a little bit more. Or the people who are like, okay, I've tried diet and exercise and nothing is working, because I do work with a lot of people who are doing all the things and they're still struggling. And sometimes it is my endo girl. So we're able to dive a little bit deeper. And that's where I'm able to incorporate things like functional lab testing, like the GI map stool test and the hair tissue mineral analysis, to see if maybe your root cause is like you're super deficient in some minerals, or you're having a hard time like flushing out toxins and things like that, or your gut is just super inhospitable, right? So I just really try to take a very holistic approach to health and the basis of the work that I do with my clients.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for the listeners, I brought Rita on the show and I wanted her to be on the show specifically for her experience with endometriosis, because it's something that can cause infertility. And while Rita hasn't necessarily been through her own infertility journey, she sees a lot of patients or clients that are going through that because of endometriosis. And while I haven't personally had endometriosis, my mother suffered from severe endometriosis for years, but I wanted to ask a personal question related to my mom just real quick at the top. She had endometriosis after having children. A lot of times I know that that's something that's a little backwards. Like usually it presents early on before someone tries to. Have you run across that? Is that something that you see for other women out there that may be in that same situation?
Did she have C-sections or were they all vaginal?
Nope, they were both vaginal.
Because I know sometimes with surgery, like there are some theories or some like surgeons will say that sometimes surgery can cause the endo tissue to like dislodge. And I don't know, it just comes up when it wasn't really there before. But I will say I haven't really heard of it coming up after childbirth. But it obviously doesn't necessarily mean that it can't, right? Did she get tested before she had children to know for sure that she didn't? Or did she just have more prevalent symptoms after she had children and that's when she got her?
She didn't have any symptoms prior to having children. And then after having children, all the symptoms started presenting and she was like, what is this? And so that's when she was diagnosed.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. I think like how old she was when she had children. Was she younger when she had them? And then she creeped into her 30s. And that, I feel like that's when a lot of people's lives start to fall apart. Most of the women I work with are in their early to mid 30s. And like, that's
where I'm at. Yeah.
Right.
It's like falling apart.
Me too, hon. So that's it. Because like, realistically, how much, I don't know, we're not educated much on health, right? Outside of like, what we take the time to educate ourselves on. But like, I know our parents' generation wasn't really educated on all this holistic-y stuff. And their generation either, okay? So, right. I don't know. There's a lot of factors. And like, that's the thing with endo is everyone's case of endo is so, so, so different. So it is important to, I think, like, step outside of just the conventional realm because no matter what your symptoms are with endo, even if you don't have pain, they're like, here's birth control. And it's like, okay, wait, can we just like, hold on a second? Like, some women with endo only have infertility, right? Everything is completely different. And that's why I really think everything should just be completely individualized to the person.
Amen. That was a little bit of a tangent just for a personal aside, but I do want to focus on your work with the women that you see that do present with infertility as a result of endo and how you work through that with them to try to diagnose or maybe not diagnose is maybe the wrong word, but try to at least get them to a point where they feel like they're a little bit in control of their journey again, things that they can do, actionable steps they can take. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I really, really love helping women with this because again, like I just said, like women are just not educated, right? So this is just like the baseline woman. I'm not talking about a woman with endo or infertility, but like women just like, don't even know how their menstrual cycle works, right? Absolutely. The biggest thing is just really just taking the time to educate and just slowly encourage habits. I'm very big on just like really us focusing on your nutrition and focusing on lifestyle and some of these little things. Most of the women I work with are very much so are victims of diet culture. Most of them have very poor relationships with food. Most of them majorly undereat. So a lot of the work that we're doing is simple, basic stuff that like we don't really think is like majorly groundbreaking, but really does make the biggest difference because a lot of people with endo have chronic pain. They have chronic bloat. They have chronic digestive issues. All these things make it hard to eat. And then you have modern day stressors, right? And most people are skipping breakfast. So then we have all of these factors that can work against fertility, right? And then you add a chronic illness like endo on top of that that can cause all these structural issues and you have a double whammy right there. So again, a lot of it is just starting with the basics. I'm looking at how you're eating. I'm looking at what you're eating, but not from a super judgy standpoint. But if you're eating out 4 or 5 times a week and you're like, why are things not working out? I'm like, hey girl, we need to talk about your diet, right? But I'm very big on just trying to create that balance because if we're living like all the way in one extreme versus the other, like your body's not going to feel safe. Like if we're constantly thinking and obsessing over food, that's not going to create the safety that your body needs to help support fertility. So again, a lot of it is working on relationship with food, just addressing the basics with nutrition and lifestyle, looking at how you're exercising. A lot of the women I work with train too much for what their body can handle in the given moments. Looking at training intensity, looking at how we're putting our meals together, blood sugar balance. Are you going for walks throughout the day? Are you getting enough water? Are you going to the bathroom daily? I know this is all like very general stuff, but these are the basic things I'm looking at because most doctors are not asking women these questions. They're not.
Yeah.
You go to the doctor, you can't poop. They're like, here's Miralax, goodbye. But especially if you have endo, there's probably a bigger reason why you can't go to the bathroom, right? So I like to start with the basic stuff first because even if we were to do the fancy freaking schmancy test, like you're still going to have to do all this basic stuff, right? Right. So really focusing in on the foundational pieces first. And then I always do like to recommend testing for people who do have autoimmunity, especially endo, especially with infertility, because sometimes your issue is you're not absorbing your food. Maybe you're eating all the nutrient-rich food. You're taking all like the super high-quality prenatals and you're doing all the things. I have some people who really are, but then we look at their gut and their gut is a freaking dumpster fire. They're not able to absorb anything they're eating. They're not able to absorb the supplements that they're taking. So how are they going to get better and how are they going to support egg quality and fertility if they can actually obtain and pull those nutrients from their food? This is where utilizing testing like the GI map can come in handy, because there's many different places you can have dysfunction in the GI tract. You can be struggling with low stomach acid because you have H. pylori. You can be struggling with constipation because you have parasites. There's a bajillion different things. Being able to look at the gut microbiota is really important, because literally like that is where all of our nutrients get absorbed. Okay, you're not absorbing, that's it. That's it. So I love to look at the GI map stool test. And then I like to also look at the hair tissue mineral analysis. This is a test that looks at mineral levels. It looks at heavy metals. Sometimes toxins are a really big issue for fertility. We live in a day and age where we're exposed to so many toxins, and not just women. This affects men too. Like sometimes with infertility, men get forgotten, but these toxins impact them too. So we really just being mindful of your environment is important. And sometimes even testing for things like MTHR gene mutation can be important, because that's a gene mutation that can impact your ability to detoxify. So if you can't detox your body, your liver is just holding on to a bunch of stuff, like that can really cause issues for fertility. So obviously, like I said, the basic stuff first, but most of my endo peeps typically do, especially once you have infertility, will get some kind of functional test, because most of them have exhausted all their options. But a lot of it is just looking to try to see like the missing pieces here. Obviously, most of these women are working with a doctor too, which is great, because sometimes these people have structural issues, right? They're impacting their ability to conceive. So I do think the holistic component is important. I just also think it's very important to just make sure there's nothing structurally going on that's impacting your ability to, especially if you have history of like endometriomas and some other things that can kind of mess with your fallopian tubes and your ovaries.
I have chronic constipation. Like digestion is just horrific in my family. So thanks for that, mom and dad. But if I'm going to the doctor and I'm saying I'm having all these issues with my digestion, or if I have endometriosis, these symptoms, having trouble controlling them, what type of questions should you be asking your doctor or someone like you to get to the bottom of where do we even start with this?
Kind of the case for a lot of my endo people, especially for people who are in that infertility spectrum. Obviously, like your body better than you, and you've probably had all the testing. But if you haven't ever been checked, like I think if you are struggling with some of those chronic gut symptoms, I think it is worth like talking to your doctor and just mentioning that endo symptoms and those kind of gut symptoms can overlap. I think it would be at least worth ruling it out or having that discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, maybe I do have endo and I just don't know it.
I'm not trying to imply that you do.
It's good to know though. Like I didn't even, as someone that thinks I don't have it, I didn't even know that the symptom of it without any sort of, that's really good to know.
Dr. Jolene Brighton, I don't know who she is. I literally, before I hopped on to record this, she posted something today about endo and gut symptoms and how the symptoms overlap. And all the symptoms that overlap are like constipation, bloat, nausea. And I mean, that's it. So many people, I was telling one of my friends who's a surgical PA, she works with a lot of endo patients. She does like excision surgery. A lot of her patients are like infertility patients. And I was telling her, I was like, I believe deep down that every woman has some form of endometriosis, especially in today's world, right? But because so many people don't have pain, I think more people have it than we realize. I think with the amount of environmental toxins that we have in today's world, like generally speaking, people are not as healthy as they used to be. We're not able to withstand disease anymore. All that's on the rise. Not trying to be negative, just keeping it freaking real.
Right.
She was like, I low-key have the same theory here. We could all have some form of endo. Does that mean that we're all going to have debilitating pain and just be miserable? No, not necessarily. But this doesn't necessarily mean that, I don't know, your mom didn't have it till later on in her life. So who knows? It is a highly genetic disease, but I don't know. I have it. My mom didn't have it. She says my sister has PCOS and has had surgery and she knows she doesn't have it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just have a case of gut issues thanks to genetics, but there is always a root cause. And I definitely do think for people listening, it is worth digging a little bit deeper, because sometimes like why you're struggling with constipation could potentially be connected to the fertility piece.
That's actually a great segue into my next question, was for those of us listeners that are beyond our fertility journey and we're trying to figure this life out after that, our bodies are put through the ringer when we go through that type of treatment. And so there's so many chemicals and so many substances that we're pumping through our bodies. And it's like, you come out of that and like, full disclosure, I gained 40 pounds because just everything that was in my body, and the doctors had said, yeah, you're going to gain weight on this drug, or you're going to have water retention on this drug. But what they don't tell you is that lasts a long time after you stop taking that. And so it took about 8 months after our last IVF to like really feel even a resemblance of normal again. So for those of us in that situation, we've done the fertility treatments, we've put our body through hell and back. How do we start to get back on the right track? Or I know you talked about the basics, just basic nutrition or basic looking at your exercise program. Specifically for people who have been through those type of treatments, are there things that we should be looking for, or things that we can change, like little things each and every day?
Yes. And I'm just going to throw this in there. I actually do have one client. She actually went through IVF, and after she finished, she started developing like full blown pelvic pain and ended up with an endo diagnosis at the end of the year. So I wanted to mention this because you mentioned how taxing it is on the body, and IVF and going through those cycles is very, very taxing on the system. It's so taxing. And especially with like how like our system goes, right? Like, we're not like checking to see, is this person like, are they in a place where they can withstand this kind of treatment, especially like nutrient wise and whatever. Sometimes right. Like people are going to respond a lot more negatively in the long run to things like IVF, or not in the long run, but you know what I mean, like the period after IVF. I think everyone's right. Process is different, but I think the biggest things afterwards is I approach it from an estrogen dominant state, right? Like if you're pumping your body full of a lot of these hormones, especially like estrogen, you're going to have these higher estrogen levels. So making sure you're going to the bathroom and really trying to, like, this is really going to be all basic stuff. I'm sorry. It's not cute.
I think we forget about that when we go through that type of journey. We don't really care what we're doing to our body. Like the ultimate goal is just to have this baby, and we take a back seat to it. I think it's good to go back to basics and be like, step one, step two, step three, just lay it out.
Obviously, going to the bathroom every day is important. Having bowel movements is one of the ways that we eliminate excess estrogen from our bodies. If you are not able to poop, this can set you up for estrogen dominance. Your body can recirculate the hormones and toxins that are just sitting in your stool if you're not going. So making sure you're eliminating every day is a really important part of this. Liver health is also a big part of this. I know most IVF girlies are probably not out here boozing like crazy, but this is also a really good time to continue supporting your liver. Make sure you're not boozing like crazy and eating lots of protein. People do not understand how important protein is for overall health, but you actually need enough high quality protein in your diet to help detoxify your liver, to help support your blood sugar, to make hormones, to everything. So I'd say minimum of 100 grams of protein a day, and try to aim for about 30 of it within an hour of waking. Blood sugar balance is so important, and it's one of the easiest ways to help support healthy estrogen levels. Making sure your blood sugar is balanced, you're eating enough protein. Liver supportive herbs can be really good. I really love dandelion. There's a really good dandy blend tea that I like. Sometimes people do like castor oil packs, sweating, dry brushing. These can also be really great ways to support elimination. And those are just some of the basic ways to help flush some of that stuff out. A lot of it's also going to be dependent on like your diet, right? Just making sure you're eating lots of color, lots of veggies, your cruciferous veggies like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. And not everybody can tolerate them because like they are very gas producing. But if you are, make sure they're cooked really well. These kinds of veggies, they contain sulfur in them, and they can also help with liver detoxification, which is, again, another big place for estrogen metabolism. Really focusing on detoxification and just really being easy with yourself. I think emotionally, while I have never, ever been through that journey, I have worked with clients who have, and I know it can be very emotionally draining. And I think the biggest thing is, especially when you're trying to make it to the other side, you have to just be easy with yourself and give yourself grace. And I know I see that you talk about this on Instagram, but I think that also goes for your health journey too. I think sometimes people get really frustrated with their body and then they're just, I know we want to control it, right? We want everything to be better now, but sometimes we need to take a step back and like, hey, I'm talking to myself too here, okay? I can't tell you how many times I was just so angry at my body and just like where I was. But the biggest thing is to just be easy with yourself too, because being a dick to yourself while you're bouncing back from something like that isn't going to make it an easier process either.
I like that you put yourself in that category too, because like I'm in there as well. I think all of us women are there at a certain time. And I do talk to a lot of women, of course, who have endometriosis that then end up getting or maybe have to have a hysterectomy just to alleviate their symptoms and stuff. Are there certain things that you should really watch out for in terms of gut health after that's happened? And in terms of maybe not even gut health, but you talked about the liver and everything. And when you take out that system, you're taking away all of those hormones. And I'm sure there's some major changes that happen there. Is there a way to support that system after something like that?
A lot of what we do, like to help like my clients bounce back after hysterectomy, is a lot of this basic stuff. You're going to have a lot of work to do if you really don't want to end up in full-blown menopause. Because like realistically, like you said, like, once you take out those organs, especially if, even if they do leave your ovaries, right? Just having one less organ there, that causes a major reduction in blood flow, and that can start putting you in a perimenopausal state earlier. The biggest thing is to just really focus on a lot of the basic stuff that I mentioned. And if you are somebody that's already doing all the things and then you're still struggling with your endo before you had your surgery, like I have some clients that have had a hysterectomy and they still struggle with endo type symptoms and whatever else, that's when we'll do the functional testing, right? Because like they've already had the organ taken out, right? So they're not really having a lot of the pain. They're having more like the GI issues or some of the other symptoms that are actually caused by endo that have typically gotten brushed off because they don't fall under the endo period pain category, if that makes sense.
Right. And one of the other reasons I wanted to have you on the show is I love the way you present all of this. And I love the way your content kind of takes, yes, it's serious in nature, but it also puts like just a realistic and humoristic spin on it. And I think that we certainly don't want to be insensitive to anybody, but I think we almost have to look at some of these situations, infertility in particular. It's so chaotic and you're just completely out of control. If I'm not going to cry, I'm going to have to laugh. And so I really love how you present this information to women in a way that I think is just really relatable.
I have a lot of exciting things that I have rolling out right now. So I do have a little course called Holistic Harmony that is launching in a couple weeks. And I really just wanted to pour everything into a course. I actually ran this course as a group coaching program last year and really liked it, but wanted to turn it into more of a passive type thing. And then a course, just something that people could access at their own pace versus it being live. And I poured everything in there from like blood sugar to the ins and outs of the menstrual cycle. Like I said earlier, most women don't even know how their cycles work. And we're diving into everything, like why you should care about ovulation, like what progesterone is important for, hormonal imbalances, minerals, gut health, the nervous system. We're talking about labs, when to get your labs drawn, because believe it or not, with hormones, you do want to get them drawn at a certain time of the month if you want to get accurate levels. I can dive into all of this because realistically, when it comes to being healthy, you need to look at all the parts, right? Like, even if you're struggling with, okay, your hair is falling out. Okay, there's a million different reasons why that can be happening, but you want to look at the full picture and not just focus on, oh my God, my hair is falling out, and only stop at your hair. There's a reason why, like whether it's minerals, whether it's your thyroid, whether it's your body's not absorbing your food, it's worth digging a little bit deeper. But this course provides a lot of action steps. People who are just starting out their journey, they don't know how to start improving their gut health, or they don't even know how to go about balancing their blood sugar. Everything will be laid out in this course. And I do have another little lab service that I'm rolling out that kind of allows people to get a second opinion on their blood work. I see so many people, they get told their labs are normal, like over and over, and their labs are so not normal. And it's like, I'm in this industry to prevent disease, okay? And healthcare waits till you have the disease to help you. And that's just like the opposite of how it really should be. Like, we shouldn't wait until people are sick to help them. Like, why not help them when they have the symptoms before we like just, it makes me want to pull my hair out. That's why I created this service. Oh my God, my DMs are always filled with women who are like, my God, my doctor told me my labs are normal. What do I do? So this kind of allows people to get greater insight into your labs, which I think is something that most people need. How many people are getting, how many people have doctors that sit down and actually go through their labs with them and explain what it all means while looking at them through a functional lens? That's some of the newer things that I've got going on this in this little corner of the internet. But otherwise, just doing my little one-on-one thing and kind of working with people in a one-on-one capacity. I also have my own podcast too. It's just more long form content. I'm very chatty and I don't have enough minutes on Reels to talk. Stick it to my podcast.
Yeah. What's the name of your podcast so everybody knows?
It's Radiate with Rita. Radiate with Rita.
I always ask this at the end of is one piece of advice that you would give your 18-year-old self, knowing what it doesn't have to be around your professional life. What's just one piece of advice that you would tell that girl?
Oh, girl, I was not ready for this question. Oh, God.
Not that you would listen if you told yourself that, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, I know I wouldn't listen. I know for a fact I wouldn't listen. But if I could go back and tell myself one thing at 18, it's to literally follow your heart's desire. Okay. I think so often we try to like mold ourselves into what society wants us to be, what our parents want us to be. And at that time, I just did what my parents said. So that's what I mean when I said like, I wouldn't have listened to me because I would have been like, no, I'm doing the right thing. But back then I wasn't thinking for myself. I was just doing what I thought was the best option for me based on what was presented to me. I wasn't thinking for myself. So I think it's important to just go with your gut. And it doesn't always work out that way, but even if it doesn't, everything happens for a reason.
I love that. And didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but
no, okay.
you came through in the clutch. So great answer. And if people want to reach out to you, we'll put all of Rita's links in the show notes along with some of those products that she mentioned in case you are interested in checking them out. But what's the best place to get a hold of you?
You guys can message me on Instagram at Radiate with Rita. You can also shoot me an email at hello@radiatewithrita.com. And my website is radiatewithrita.com. So again, it's the same across the board.
Google. Hey, makes Google it simple. Yeah, we love simple here.